Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Late have I loved you, O beauty, ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved you. You were within me, but I was outside. And it was there that I searched for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things which you created. You were with me, but I was not with you. Created things kept me from you. Yet if they had not been in you, they would have not been at all. You called, you shouted, you broke through my deafness, you flashed, you shone, and you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath, and now I pant for you. I have tasted you, now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me, and I burned for your peace. St. Augustine of Hippo. St. Augustine, pray for us. I was thinking about the journey of St. Augustine, and I was thinking about how important it is that when people recognize the beauty of the world, the creativity out there, whether it's in different cultures, whether it's in different scenery, whether it's in different people, to wonder and ponder where it all comes from. And I thought about this a lot on the way home, as I always do after visiting Italy, which is a country filled with so much beauty. And in the interview that John Hale and I did with Andrea Bocelli, a Zoom interview we did that we're going to be sharing, now we're looking at December 1st. We were going to air it on November 29th, but now we're moving it to December 1st, close to Bocelli's tour here in Michigan. But thinking about all those incredible things in terms of the beauty of God, and even Bocelli talked about this. We asked him about the beauty of Italy, and he said Italy has so much natural beauty, but also beauty made by man who were gifted by God in terms of, obviously, the art, the sculptures, the different structures that were built, but to recognize the ultimate source. And Bocelli was talking about how he recognizes that his singing talent is a gift from God, and he recognizes the beauty of Italy, encouraging people to return. He knows where it's all from, and he never takes it for granted. And thinking about all this as I'm watching this documentary on the plane, and it was all about Anthony Bourdain, who achieved a lot of success, a great deal of success, as a cultural icon, a famous chef, best-selling author, who traveled the world for his special program that went to, gosh, every single, when you say the ends of the earth, he went to the ends of the earth, but he also went to some very high-end places, you know, Paris and Rome and different well-known beautiful cities, you know, discovering the people and especially their food. And there's one particular scene in this. Well, there were several, but there was one that was super telling. All along the documentary, they have all these different interviews with the people with whom he worked, plus family members and whatnot, and close friends. And they're always talking about the fact that he was always searching. There was this desire to search and to explore. And it's not that he didn't recognize beauty. He was very good, actually, at describing beauty. I mean, he was a very talented writer. And one of his first publishers says he discovered his writing talent, Bourdain's writing talent, in an email he sent when he was over in Japan. And the email was so descriptive, he sent it to his friend who worked in the publishing industry with him. And they said, this guy's got a gift. Let's get him to write a book about food, about his life as a chef. And so he did that. And the rest, as they say in history, he went from being a well-known chef in New York running a very successful restaurant. But once the book hit, his life took a whole different trajectory into the public square, into the public scene, you know, on the front lines out there in the culture. And he couldn't go anywhere without being recognized. And yet, despite all the success, you see him in the movie saying, or in the documentary saying, I just want to be able to pay my rent. That would be absolutely incredible. Then once, of course, he started making money, then he started to say, I'm living the life, I'm living the dream. And he would often visit some of his chef friends around the world, and the person he was very close to is I can't remember the guy's name now, a very famous French chef. And in one of the scenes from, Parts Unknown, I think it was the name of a series. Anyway, he's sitting down with this chef whose first name, I think, was Eric, And they're sitting in this very, very beautiful scene. Looked a lot like Tuscany, but was the rolling hills of Provence, France. Just beautiful. And a little church in the background. They're sitting at this very quaint picnic table. Fantastic wines, amazing cheeses and meats and, you know, and French bread. And just a perfect setting. And he says to his friend, he said, you know, we're basically, I don't want to use a language that he used. It's kind of rough around the edge. But he said, this is it. You realize that. He said, you can't get any better than this. He says, so as I just can't see any afterlife or any heaven being better than this. So what's next? There's this conference, there's constant referencing in the quotes from Bourdain about, okay, I've achieved all this, I've seen all this, but at the end of the day, what does it mean? And he's sitting in front of this church in this beautiful setting in France. And I'm thinking, look behind you, the answer is right there. Or look up, he recognized, as St. Augustine did, the beauty of the earth, the beauty of people, the beauty of the different cultures and art and food and the scenery, going all these different places around the world, watching sunsets in the desert, being on the ocean, you know, in the far corners of the earth, going to these fantastic restaurants and having these wonderful experiences on different cruise ships and all these things that he did. And yet at the end of the day, he was alone and he felt that there was nothing more. And it was just so sad and so heart-wrenching, the interviews with his friends and you know, the destruction that was left behind. And now they just wondered what was going on and how he struggled. And one of his friends, who was an artist, said he called him shortly before he hanged himself. And Anthony Bourdain said to him, you know, you're successful, I'm successful. Do you ever wonder what it all means and if it matters? You know, what is it for? So he was searching. And for whatever reason, we don't know if anybody witnessed to him at all, but for whatever reason, he wasn't able to look up or to look further than the physical world in which we're in, or to realize that there was more to this world, that someone was very much responsible for all of the beauty, which of course we know St. Augustine eventually discovered, and it changed his life. And St. Augustine searched for years. Think of how long St. Monica was praying for him. And think of how many quote-unquote religions he took part in before submitting himself to Jesus and Christianity. And all along during this documentary, I kept thinking, oh, if he would only stop and really, or maybe someone, could someone witness to him? Maybe someone did and he rejected it, but he really felt there was nothing else because he had experienced so much beauty and had such an incredible life, had basically done it all. And he figured, well, that's it. There's nothing more than what I've experienced. It really doesn't mean anything. His family was broken. He was, I think he had three marriages. His second marriage, they had a beautiful daughter. That ended. And then he went into a relationship with an Italian actress. That ended. It was a very serious relationship, but that ended. And so he was basically alone. And despite his money, his success, his fame, at the end of the day, he still wondered what it was all about and felt like there was nothing more. And so this is why I'm so passionate about doing what we do at Ave Maria Radio and EWTN, bringing people the true, the beautiful, and the good, because we go much further. We say, okay, think about it. Really think and pray about this. Where does this come from? From whom? I heard a great story from our friend Kristen Hale, John Hale's wife at Corporate Travel, and she was struggling with her faith in college. And she went to Europe with her brothers, and they had this fantastic tour of Italy, and she was still struggling and asking a lot of questions. And she said all of that changed almost instantaneously for her when she went into Florence, into the museums in Florence, and when she had her first look at the David. And when you go see the David in Florence, you walk into the gallery and you have to wait kind of in a line, you go through security, and you come into, go through a hallway, and then you turn right, and immediately, there's all kinds of other fabulous sculptures and paintings and whatnot in this museum, but immediately you see this massive statue of David. And it is so anatomically perfect. It's so stunning that it just takes your breath away. And so Kristen said, the minute I saw that, that was it. I said, this doesn't just happen. This is not physically or humanly possible without God gifting people. The same thing you see when you walk into the Sistine Chapel, you walk into St. Peter's and you see a Pietà, or you stand, you know, in a beautiful country and see the countryside and the hills. It's just sad, and we don't know what was going on in his life. We'll never really know why he wasn't able to dig a little bit more deeply and think, you know what? If you think this is great, just wait till the afterlife. Just wait, as St. Paul tells us, eye has not seen, nor has ear heard what God has ready for those who love him. So if the world is such a beautiful place, and we know it is because of God's creativity, because he created everything, imagine what he has in store for us in heaven. And pray for the soul of Anthony Bourdain. Rough around the edges and apparently a very difficult man, you know, with whom to work. But I just really felt sorry for him and his struggling. I kept thinking, oh, if only someone would have introduced him to first and foremost Jesus, but then some of our greatest saints, including St. Augustine, so he could see the true, the beautiful, and the good, and where it all comes from.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Okay, I've been a Catholic for 5 years, but I suffered under a lot of things due to my Protestantism as a Pentecostal, and I just want to personally ask God to bless you for your ministry, for everything you do, and the help that you give people.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com.
You're listening to the best of Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Our friend Gary Zimick is going to be speaking at the Catholic Men's Conference this weekend in Connecticut. We mentioned it earlier this week. Check it out. Gary is with us this morning, though, to talk about a brand new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. Good morning. How are you? Long time no talk to, my friend.
I know. I've missed you. Things are good, though, Teresa. So glad to be able to talk about the new book and to be able to get back on the road again and share the good news.
Yeah, absolutely. And to do that in person, I think it's great that we've learned more about doing things online, but there's nothing like that personal contact with people. So tell us about the book.
Yeah, this is, believe it or not, Teresa, because you knew me before I wrote any books. This is book number 10.
I knew you before you were rich and famous.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that.
This is such an exciting book. It's Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. It's my first book for the Word Among Us Press. And you know what?
I love them. They produce publish my Saints book. Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're such a blessing to work with them. So this book is all about knowing, loving, and serving God. What does that mean? You know, we learned that back in catechism class way back when. But that's the way to find peace and happiness. So I just wanted to share some techniques, you know, my approach for knowing, loving, and serving God. What does that mean? Let's put it in practical terms. And, of course, you know me. There's some information about there about how we can overcome worry.
I was just going to ask you. You haven't gotten away from the worrying message because
I can't. You know, Teresa, yeah. Because that's and I was writing today. I do these daily reflections that people can sign up for. They're free of charge. But In my daily reflection for today that I send out via email, I'm talking about the fact that I don't especially feel the presence of Jesus this week. And that happens sometimes. I don't always feel him. But you have to push through that. Like, you know, today's gospel, I was really astonished by the fact that I've heard this before, that Herod was intrigued by Jesus, and he worked to find, he wanted to meet him. And, you know, I found that it's an effort sometimes. We have to make the effort to know God, to make, you know, through Jesus, and we have to put that effort in. We have to look for him because we don't see him in the world necessarily. But if we make the effort, we do find him, and we don't always feel him. Sometimes that faith is not a feeling. I know it's going to come back one day, but, you know, we have to push through, and that's what this book is all about, just finding the Lord in the midst of daily life.
So, I mean, I don't want to give the book away because I want people to get it, but just in terms, the one thing that, a big thing that helps me is to put things in context and to pull back and look at the big picture. And I love church teaching. I love history of the church. I love the saints. I was talking this morning in the first hour of my show, and even at the top of the show today, encouraging people, if they're calling on, for example, the intercession of the great Padre Pio, to look at his life. And yes, we ask for his help as an intercessor for us in the communion of saints, but to understand that these people, you know, that we're seeking help and advice from, their lives were not, you know, a bed of roses.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and that's the key, to keep pushing forward. And you know this because you've been through this too. We can still find that peace even in the midst of the storms in our lives. Mm-hmm. And that's the supernatural peace that comes from the Lord. But it doesn't mean that following Christ is going to make our life easier in terms of circumstances. It just doesn't work that way. But I've learned with his help to find peace in the midst of trials and tribulations. And I've learned also that it's important to embrace the cross that the Lord allows to enter into my life, which is what Padre Pio and the great saints did. That's the way we find the peace. And in fact, in this book, I break it down into three sections: knowing, loving, and serving God. And in the knowing God section, I do a chapter on three important facts we have to know about the Lord. Number one, he loves us. Number two, he is with us. And number three, he is bigger than our problems.
The book is Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, published by Word Among Us, and it's written by our friend Gary Zimick. I think, too, if we look back, and Deacon Dom and I was mentioning, too, during the break, that we're doing a big retreat for the deacons in the Archdiocese and their wives in the Archdiocese of San Antonio next weekend, and we're doing a whole theme on remembering in a good way, as Scripture says so often, remembering what the Lord has done, looking back and how God has brought you through. Not only brought you through, I think there's a lot of emphasis on, we got to get through this, we got to get through this. But we don't look enough at the benefits that come and the lessons that are learned and how, wow, I wouldn't ask for that, but now I realize that God allowed that to happen for a very specific reason, and I wouldn't be in the place I am today had I not gone through that.
That's exactly right. And if we put too much emphasis on the pain that comes along with carrying our cross, we're going to miss out on the benefits that come from carrying the cross. You know, on the other side of that cross is some really good stuff. We just got to somehow push through. And Teresa, like, I mean, look through the Bible. God is faithful. He's always there for his people. Look at our own lives. If he wasn't taking care of our needs from the moment we were first conceived, we wouldn't be alive today. So
right.
He doesn't change. He took care of his people in the past. He took care of me in the past. He's going to be there in the future.
I think the subtitle is really important, Finding Peace and Happiness, because we're all looking for that. And I do agree that sometimes there's too much emphasis, and who wants to join Christianity if it's all about, hey, suffering, all we're going to do is suffer, suffer, suffer. Well, that's not the point. The point is that everybody is going to suffer.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're an atheist, if you're an agnostic, if you're a Jewish brother or sister in the Lord, if you're part of a different religion, I don't know, whatever you claim to be, every single human being on the planet is going to suffer regardless of, you know, whatever they personally believe, because we live in a fallen world and we're all affected by sin. So what the Christian church gives us, obviously, is salvation through the only way, Jesus Christ, but also a really deeper joy in understanding, having an understanding of suffering, right? The theology of suffering, as we talk about in the Catholic faith.
Exactly, and I'm so glad you said that. There is something in it for us. You know, that sounds greedy, but look, God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy, but he's so good that he can transform our suffering into a potential source of peace and happiness. It sounds crazy, but, you know, once you try it, Christianity really works. There can be joy in carrying the cross, because one of the greatest sources of suffering is trying to run away from your problems. You know, you can't do it.
And trying to run away from what God has in store for you because you think it's scary. But the end of the day, and you and I have talked about this at length, you know, when we see each other and we've chatted over the phone, is that when God says, okay, this is my will for you, when you kind of get that message and when you accept it, it's scary at first, but then you realize I'm happier than I've ever been. I mean, you walked away from a very successful career, and now you have an entirely different career, quote unquote. And I know you personally, and I know you've never been happier.
That's exactly right. And you know what, Teresa? I didn't exactly walk away. I got laid off from a 30-year career.
Right, but you didn't go back in looking for another job is what I meant.
Exactly
right.
But it looked bad at the time. I was the sole provider for my family, and I still am. That was 10 years ago. The Lord brought me to a place that I never thought possible. You're right. Boy, what joy I get out of proclaiming the good news. And my family is affected by it, too, in a positive way.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about, in terms, because you still do, you have a great ministry in helping people deal with anxiety and worry.
Yeah.
How have you seen those anxieties, Gary, and those worries change, given what we've been through with COVID the last couple of years? What do you think?
They have definitely escalated. And in fact, I saw it with my wife. My wife went through a horrible bout with anxiety during COVID. We were all healthy the whole time. But the fear just really got to her. But the Lord brought her to a much better place. And her relationship with him has been transformed. So it was tough. It was really brutal. I mean, she wasn't sleeping. And I wrote 3 books during the past year. So I wasn't sleeping because I was trying to comfort her. So, but the Lord took us both to a better place. But Teresa, I get emails almost every day from people who are really struggling with worry. And they somehow find me, and they take my advice. And my advice is that, you know, encounter Jesus, walk with him every day, spend some time with him. And I get testimonials from people who are very much at peace, much more at peace than when they started. But definitely, I feel the anxiety is risen to almost an epidemic proportion right now in the world.
Yeah. So I think this book, the timing of it, is really important. Whom did you have in mind, Gary, when you wrote it?
I had in mind the people, you know, the people who I reach out to. I reach out to people who are like me for so many years. Just life is flat to them, you know. Somebody who's looking for something more, who wants that to take that next step in a relationship with God, or who maybe is out of options and is saying, well, let me just try God, you know. So this book can reach people in many different levels. I want to give hope to the hopeless, and I think that's what this book will do.
It's a beautiful book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, from our friend Gary Zimick. So let's talk a little bit about, I want to shift gears for just a second, because I want to plug the conference coming up. Speaking of a really great insight and advice and encouragement, I'm really hoping the weather holds out. I know that they're going to have some rain in New York. I'm hoping Connecticut isn't affected. But it's going to be a great event. It's at a baseball stadium, so people can separate if they're concerned. And there's going to be, obviously, COVID. They're going to be honoring people's concerns with COVID. But it's going to be in a very safe location because you're going to be outdoors and you can spread out. And I know that about 500-600 guys have already registered, maybe some wives in that as well. This is a Catholic men's conference coming up in Connecticut. You've got a wonderful bishop there, Leonard Blair, whom I know personally, is going to be the chief celebrant of the Mass. And you're going to be talking about, and I know you love this topic, and so do I, all about our Blessed Mother.
Yep, listen to your Blessed Mother. That's the title of my second book that I wrote. It's all about looking at the words of Mary in Scripture. You know, we've talked about this before. She only spoke on 4 occasions, as recorded in the Bible. I'm going to go through each of those her words and talk about what we can learn from her. And it's just such a powerful message. I'm so excited to be speaking about the Blessed Mother, and equally excited to be speaking along with Father Don Calloway and Ralph Martin, Dr. Blythe Kaufman. I mean, some heavy hitters at this conference. So I am honored to be invited and to participate in it.
So in terms of the messages that you want people to hear, especially on a day like today, the Feast of St. Padre Pio, what can you leave us with? We have about 2 minutes left. Your final thoughts, Gary, given all the trouble in the world.
Can I quote Padre Pio?
You certainly may.
Pray, hope, and don't worry, right? I mean, that's what it all comes down to. We pray because the Lord wants to help us. We hope because in Christ there is hope. You know, I tell people that if you're suffering right now, hope means that you believe things will get better. How that happens, we're not sure, but we trust the Lord. And then finally, don't worry, because if you're praying and you're hoping, there is no need to worry, because worry accomplishes nothing. And Teresa, while I have a couple of seconds, I just want to say, if anybody is struggling, I make this offer all the time, please contact me. If you're struggling with anxiety, if you're feeling hopeless, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email. I answer emails. You know, I encourage people to reach out. We're in this together. This is my life. This is my vocation. I'm going to be doing this, Teresa, until the day I die. You know, I'm not retiring. This is what the Lord wants me to do. I want
Amen.
To help. There is hope.
Yeah, amen. And the other thing, too, is we have to all stop, and we all do this, trying to get everything perfectly aligned all the time in our lives.
Yes.
This is not heaven.
Yes.
This is a fallen world.
Cool.
And you'll be joyful and happy in your circumstances. Nothing is ever going to be 100% perfect, okay?
Yep, exactly. Exactly. I was telling my wife and I were talking about this the other day. This is not heaven. But we can have that beginning to heaven with our relationship with the Lord. The key is, Teresa, learn to live with uncertainty. But we have certainty in the faith, in our faith, right? So that's
Amen.
It. I think
yep.
that's the key.
Gary, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Journeying with God is the book, Finding Peace and Happiness, published by our friends at Word Among Us. We'll be right back on a Thursday, wrapping up. Stay tuned.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
There's a simple step to raising a more grateful child. I used to say, easy. Eliminate half of their material possessions. I don't say that anymore. That's ridiculous. I say 75%. They don't even miss 50. 22 stuffed animals, you go down to 11. Not exactly a hardship. Simple step to raising a more grateful child. Don't be so free with the material stuff. Research has shown more generous people, by and large, have less. You give a child less, he's more willing to share it. He also is more able to occupy himself with things like boxes and dirt balls and rocks, worms, stuff that doesn't cost a whole lot of anything.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5, is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction, but they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, from mom and dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. So excited to have my dear friend and an amazing priest and leader in our faith and someone who is so loved by our listeners and viewers, Father John Mercado. Acts 29, it's a beautiful ministry that he began. He was a parish priest here for many years in addition to writing and speaking and, of course, being on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. But he really felt a call to do something different and received the approval from Archbishop Vigneron and has been doing such great work working with bishops and priests around the country. And a couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned to you more than once, Deacon Dom and I were privileged to be a part of this beautiful retreat that he gave in southeastern Michigan, but we had representatives, people from, I think, probably 10 or more states that came to this all-day retreat, began at 9 and ran until about 9 p.m. And the beauty of this, and we'll get into this in a few minutes with Father John, is that this is going to be made available. All these fantastic talks and the information and just this beautiful retreat will be available to people around the country and around the world. And they're doing it for free, which is phenomenal. But first, I just want to welcome my dear friend, Father John Mercado, to the program. Padre, always great to talk to you. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Good morning.
Yes, well, great to speak with you. I know you've been super busy, and we were both traveling the last couple of weeks after your retreat. Before we get into what you're doing with Acts 29, so many people look to you for insight and for your opinion on matters in the world and in the church. Your thoughts on the Bishops' Conference and what you thought of the document pertaining to the Eucharist?
Yeah, thanks for the softball. good to talk to you, too. So full disclosure, I haven't read it yet. I've talked to a few friends who are bishops just to ask their take, you know, before I went into it. And I think, you know, at least what I've heard from brothers who I just really respect and admire a lot, their analysis was something like, you know, it could be stronger maybe on some things, but all in all, it's a pretty decent document. And I think there's been some good commentaries coming out from some good Catholic journalists who just say, you know, it's really important to remember, first of all, what the USCCB is and isn't, and then what we should be expecting from, you know, like a group of bishops saying something. So, you know, the USCCB doesn't set policy for the whole country.
Right.
Bishops are, you know, the leaders of their diocese. And so if I think if people were expecting that this was going to be like, you know, somebody kind of, hey, this is what has to happen in every place, then they don't understand how the bishops work. But I think it's just a great exhortation for us to be encouraged by the fact that there are some really strong shepherds who recognize not just the importance of the Eucharist, but that for people to really get the Eucharist, they have to, like Archbishop Gomez said in his address, as well as in a fabulous speech that he gave in Spain.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was really good. Yeah,
we have to know the story. We have to understand the bigger picture before we can even go deep into something as profound and as essential as the Eucharist, which is actually what the Rescue Project's all about. But so I'm encouraged. You know, I think there's just some guys stepping up. I was talking to Archbishop Aquila, who's become a real dear friend and brother out in Denver. And he was just commenting, you know, that a number of the bishops came up to him and thanked him for the letter that he had written, for his clarity and his strength. And I think more and more bishops are being inspired by watching their brothers act strongly. So let's keep praying for them.
Amen.
And ask the Holy Spirit to fan into flame the gift that was given to them when they were ordained.
And I think, too, getting back to what you mentioned, which is all that you're doing at Acts 29, it's about we need to know, we know of Jesus, we know of the Eucharist, but how many of us know him in the Eucharist and know him on that personal level, which is what Acts 29 is all about. Because when I was reading the document, and I was really encouraged because the education in terms of understanding of whom we're speaking, you have to know him so you can trust him. I mean, when we have relationships with people, those relationships develop because we communicate, we learn more about them, we get, you know, we fall in love, we're close to people. Well, that has to happen first before you embrace what the church teaches.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be honest, right? For how many Catholics has that really happened?
Right.
Right, you know? So this is a great time to go back to basics and to just preach the gospel so that people can come to know him, so that they can be moved to surrender, so that things like the Eucharist don't become, you know, understood in political terms or something that just doesn't belong in the church. So, hey, we were born for times like this, sis.
Amen. Amen. As Esther says, or as Mordecai said to Esther, for such a time as this, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. We're talking, of course, with Father John Ricardo from Acts 29. All right, phenomenal retreat. Deacon Dom and I are still unpacking it. It was overwhelmingly uplifting, encouraging, informative. And I know I'm somewhat biased because we've been friends for a long time, but it was, I just thought it was the best retreat, I have to say, I've ever attended. Because I need a lot of meat. I need a lot of, you know, okay, I need... some people like to go to retreat and hear, okay, now go ponder this and think about this or whatever. But I need to say, okay, what are the main points? What's going on? What can I work on? And I think you gave us that. So what's going to happen? Because you had a great crew there recording all of your talks. What happens next with this?
Yeah, so we're partnering with 4PM Media, who are the creators of things like The Wild Goose with Pavanka.
Right.
So what we're creating is a video series. So two things. One's a video series, which they're in kind of the post-production work of right now, which is intended to be something that can be done, you know, in homes and small groups, at offices and parishes, the beginning of RCIA. Anywhere, really, in a parish, the goal of which is to lead somebody to be overwhelmed by the proclamation of the gospel, And then to surrender everything to Jesus, I mean, which is what John Paul said is supposed to happen when someone hears the gospel ardently proclaimed. So that's the goal of this. And what we're trying to do is cut it up into, it's probably going to be 8 or so weeks. Mm-hmm. So it's intended to be, you know, you meet every week in a group of people. You do a meal, you have a talk, you have small group conversation. And then next week you come back, and then it kind of leads towards a retreat, which will be an all-day Saturday experience where people have an opportunity to really surrender to the Lord. And then there's a final week to wrap it up. So it follows the pattern that we feel like the Lord has given us for preaching the gospel, the kerygma, which is kind of an introductory session on why are stories so important, and the simple fact that we all live with a worldview, you know, like we all right. see the world through a set of lenses. So we just tell everybody, we just want to propose to you a biblical way of seeing reality,
right.
and
right.
let the Spirit work. And then it's four main parts: created, captured, rescued, response.
It was so good. We have to take a break. I want to let you.
Like, now what do I do?
Yeah, right. Well, I have to take a break, but I want to give out your website. So when will this? It's going to be a while before this is available, right? Because obviously you're in post production, which takes a little bit.
Yeah, we will have it ready by Easter. We want to pilot it, and we're going to do some other events too that we can talk about after the break. That I'm
Great.
Really excited about.
Awesome. Okay, so let me give out the website, acts29.org. It's Acts, and then the Roman numeral 29.org. And it's just really a phenomenal retreat. And the fact that it's going to be made available and so easy to access for so many people, of course, not only across the country, but because it'll be online, you could do this around the world. Really encourage you to keep in touch and sign up for updates through acts29.org. And then we'll be talking about it also on Ave Maria and EWTN as well. I really believe in what Father John is doing. I'm telling you, that retreat was phenomenal. We'll be right back, speaking with the one, the only, Father John Ricardo from Acts 29. Acts29.org. More Father John coming up after the break.
The idea that the United States of America should now be a nation in high-handed rebellion against God makes me choke. I mean, there are some people who seem to think that the problem in America is simply between conservatives and liberals, between Democrats and Republicans. But these group distinctions are not the most important distinction. The real division is between those who are being drawn to Christ and those who are fleeing Him. All humans are created in the image of God, and we are made for a loving relationship with our Creator. Any human being will never find their full fulfillment apart from God. And those of us who are united to Christ by faith and baptism in His mission of redemption owe everyone we meet the love and consideration that helps draw them closer to their eternal lover.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchak.
When their teens are struggling with depression, parents often wonder whether medication or therapy is the best way to help their kids heal. A new study published in the medical journal The Lancet sheds some light on this question. In a randomized, placebo-controlled, double-blind study, the so-called gold standard in medical research, doctors found that psychotherapy alone helped depressed teens and young adults just as much as those receiving counseling and medication combined. The authors of the study suggest that psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavior therapy, which addresses unhealthy thinking patterns, should be the first line of treatment for teens and young adults, with antidepressants being used only as a support to therapy when necessary. The good news is that teen depression responds tremendously well to treatment, but it's important to make sure that your kids get the right kind of help. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
So blessed to be able to spend a lot of time with Father John Ricardo. We're very proud that he's from the Archdiocese of Detroit, and he's doing such great work. I know that many of you love him. And Father, I have to tell you, even the other day I was doing an interview for EWTN News Nightly when I was in Rome, and the producer comes on. He goes, "I have a question for you." And I said, "Yes." He goes, "Do you know Father John Ricardo?" Like, for crying out loud. Well, I said, I was joking to somebody that I just want to get a sandwich board. Then on the front of it, it says yes. On the back, it says, I know Father John Mercado. So then I could just get past that and get to my talks or whatever I have to do, because that's the first question I get. Anyway, it's a compliment because we love you and you do great work. Okay, so with Acts 29, the whole mission, I love you, the fact you say rescued people rescue people. Because when you are overwhelmed by the Lord, the response is... not should be, but is, if you're sincere, because, you know, Deacon Domina, you know our story. You've known us for years. Our whole life has been transformed. We never expected to be doing what we're doing. Dom now being a deacon, me being a Catholic talk show host, totally different trajectory than we ever expected, because we were overwhelmed by forgiveness, by love, by Jesus.
Right.
And this is the whole mission of Acts 29, right?
Yeah, I mean, our formal name is Acts 29, Mobilizing for Mission.
Mm.
And even just in the break, we were talking about, you know, the frustration that people are experiencing in the church right now with, you know, leadership or lack thereof sometimes, you know, but we're all supposed to be mobilized for mission, like every
right.
single one of us. And in fact, I think honestly over the last, the Lord's been working on me for about the past 5 years, bringing me to an ever, that's what I love about the faith. You're just always learning more, right? So he's bringing me to an ever greater understanding of what he did on Easter. Namely, he began the recreation of the universe, which he will bring to completion when he comes back in glory. But in the meantime, you and I are supposed to be working to do all we can to continue that work of recreation. You know, I mean, I always joke, there's a really bad song, you know, let us build the city of God, because mm-hmm. You can't build the city of God, but we can build for it. And every one of us has been commissioned by the Lord to go out and do something, to be agents of recreation and healing and transformation and reconciliation. And that's not a task that, you know, like just belongs to the hierarchy. In fact, it primarily belongs to those who aren't members of the hierarchy. So these are, I just keep... I don't think this is a line. I think this is really true. You know, like we're just mm-hmm. supposed to be so grateful that God has created us for this moment. And we need to continue to each one of us get on our knees and say, Lord, what is the mission that you're giving to me?
Mm-hmm.
Just me.
Yeah.
You know,
or
us as a couple or us as a family. And to let the Lord use us to bring transformation in this world. And that's not to be naive. It's very hard. It's probably going to get much harder. Some of us might die. I mean, who cares, right? But we can let the Lord use us. And if we do it well, especially right now, if we really let Jesus shine through us, we will be two things, which I fear the church isn't at all right now. We will be immensely attractive and we will be incredibly threatening.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll be attracted to those who recognize what the culture's promising can't deliver and what politics promises it can't deliver. But Jesus does. He takes enemies and makes them friends. He recreates people's lives. He gives hope. And we'll be threatening, you know, no human being is my enemy as a Christian, but mm-hmm. we'll be threatening to the powers and the principalities and, you know, to the rulers of the world, and to those who serve other gods, who are not the enemy, they're just deceived.
Right.
You know, as I once was, as you were.
Right.
You know, and the Lord in his mercy opened my eyes, and now he's kind of sending us out to do damage to the enemy's kingdom.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Blessed be Jesus.
Amen. Talking with Father John Mercado, Acts 29, acts29.org, Acts, the Roman numeral 29.org. Check it out, and especially the series that's going to be available hopefully by Easter, he was saying during the break, and then obviously if you're just joining us, but based on this beautiful retreat that he gave here in southeastern Michigan, which was recorded and is going to be broken up into about 8 or 9 segments. Now, what's great about this is if we could get you to bilocate and be with every parish that's doing this, that would be awesome, but that's not physically possible. So this is something that the parish or the study group can do on their own, correct?
Correct. We hope it goes viral, you know, like we just think it's something that the Lord has given us. However, one of the things that we're planning on, just to plant a seed with you, we're trying to prayerfully find ways where we can bring this live to like large venues.
Ooh.
And so we want to try to pilot it around. In fact, we were in Columbus last night and spending time with set of folks down there in Ohio, and just had a great time with brothers and sisters there. And we're scheming, maybe doing something there. We're kicking around some other places, but we, Mary on our team, she's always talking about wanting to do revival.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the kind of thing that could be a Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday morning kind of 3-day experience, or, you know, a couple of day experience, where we get, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 people and just soak them in the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And then mobilize them and send them out. So we're prayerfully thinking about where we can do this. And then we hope to do it, I don't know, a number of times in the mm-hmm. course of a year, where we can we just kind of go on mission and preach the gospel.
And then you'll have this series available mm-hmm. By Easter for people to just roll this out whenever they feel it would work in their parish setting or their group setting, correct?
Yeah, so we're probably going to pilot it with a few places after Easter. And then it will be, I mean, everybody starts up in earnest in the fall, right?
Right.
So we'll pilot it in the spring, get some good feedback, and then, you know, plan on this thing being more widely available, you know, as we move into the fall of next year, when ministries usually really start up in earnest. But it will all be available digitally on our website. It will all be free. And, you know, we just live by the principle that freely we have received, freely we
freely must give,
so
yeah.
We just want to give it all away.
So what will be the title? Do you have a title for it yet so people can look for it? Or I know you'll be sending out...
It's called The Rescue Project.
Rescue Project, okay. All right, so
yep.
People, based on
so
your book,
the
which
Rescue
is
Project.
Fantastic. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, talking with present tense.
Okay, Rescue Project. Because I love this, the taglines of rescued people, which is so true. And I keep telling you that the story you tell, and I don't want to give it away, about your mom and your dad and this whole thing of because of you, I know God, that saying has stuck with me. And we've been texting back and forth about this because so many people now, you know, the story of me and Dom. And when we were asked to speak on that at the Good News Cruise last year, we just were like, oh, that's our life story. You know, because of Dominic, I know God. Because of a secular producer in radio who invited Dom to a Bible study, he knows God. And trajectory that sent us on, and the one by one by one person, the impact you can have. It's just so, so important not to be afraid to introduce Jesus to other people. And it's about, you know, that relationship with him first and foremost. And I want to get back to something you said about earlier in the beginning of the interview, surrendering. I was just asked to contribute a chapter to a new book by Chris-Lena Everett, who's doing a book for women. And she's invited several of us, okay, just pray about it. Just do a chapter on whatever is on your heart and what women need today. And I kept going back to this whole idea of surrender. And what does that look like? Because if you can't surrender your life to Christ, then that change really can't occur. But what are people, and it goes back to what you said in the retreat about people's worldview. There is a very negative worldview, and for a variety of reasons, some of it may be true, some of it isn't, a negative view of Jesus when represented, or Jesus in general, because of problems in the church, not just the Catholic Church, but in the church in general, church life in general. So how do you surrender to someone or something that has been portrayed, or where there have actually been real issues in the church? How do you surrender to that? So I talk about that. I talk about to whom you're surrendering. But this whole idea of surrendering, and St. Teresa of Avila has this great prayer that I discovered when I was in Avila a few years ago called Into the Hands of God. It's a very humbling prayer to read, very long, about humility. And she says, I was born for you, made for you. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And that's the question we all have to ask.
Yeah, amen. I love that. We're so often fixated on people or events that are outside our circle of control. All I can control is me.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm on my knees and I just say, Lord, what do you want? Then we can trust he'll speak, as opposed to, you know, lament or complain about what's going on in somebody else's sphere of control.
Right.
You know, I got to say, too, just because you've mentioned it, I've never been a novena guy. I just didn't grow up in a family that was devotional that way. But, man, I'm going to pray the surrender novena for the rest of my life.
Mm.
I mean, I just continue to pray it. I don't know if you've come across it, but it's
yes.
from the
mm-hmm.
Father, an Italian guy, Rotolo is his name. And it just ends. It's a really simple prayer, and it ends every day with, oh, Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. And it is overwhelmingly powerful.
Yeah.
Just to continually say that to the Lord, just, Lord, I give you everything. Just take care of it. You know, yeah. All my anxieties, all my fears, you have them. I'm not going to be nervous. You're not nervous.
All right. So I wanted to ask you another question. I thought about you when I was watching this documentary on the way home about Anthony Bourdain. So sad that he took his own life. And he was always asking the question about there's got to be more, because here he is living this life where he's, you know, just really embracing all the physical, the food, the scenery, a lot like, remember, St. Augustine, which you talked about at the retreat, that he had this wrong approach where he knew that all these things were great and wonderful, but he was living a very sinful life. And there's one scene in this documentary where Bourdain is sitting in this beautiful hillside in Provence, France, in front of a little church, and says to his friend, a fellow chef, and they're having the best wine, the best cheese and everything, this has got to be it. There can't be anything more than this because this is so perfect. You know what? That's okay. If we die now, it doesn't get any better. There's nothing more. And he's sitting right in front of a church, and I'm screaming at the monitor on the plane, look at the church, go in. But isn't that what the world is giving us now? It's all about the here and now.
Yeah, and I think it's, yeah, for so many people it is. It's really, to me, it's such a symptom of despair, right? Because because they haven't heard the gospel, because their image of religion or faith is what you were talking about earlier, you know, the misdeeds of individuals. That's why those things are scandalous. They cause people to stumble, because the goal isn't like to get people to join like our club. The goal is to get people to know the God who made us, who out of love for us went to war for us, to rescue us from death and from futility and despair. And they're never going to know that if those of us who know Jesus don't tell the story,
right,
and don't actually live like we're different. You know, I mean, I wonder who he came across in his life.
Right.
You know, and just every day it's an opportunity for us to remember, Lord, wherever you bring me today, somehow, like, despite all my selfishness and sinfulness, use me, shine through me, help me to be on the lookout for opportunities, even to do something as simple as to smile and say thanks. I mean, the culture is so despairing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are sent to give them hope. Mm-hmm. And you know, not wishy thinking, real hope. Hope because God's done something about the mess that is this life.
Yeah.
And we know it. At least we're supposed to know it.
Yeah. Well, the stories, I think, are huge. I think telling stories is so important. Jesus was the greatest storyteller, and telling our own stories of how God has changed our lives, because people can't argue with your testimony. It's your personal journey. Father, I can't believe this 30 minutes has gone by already. Thank you so much. I know how busy you are. Acts29.org, and it's the Roman numeral 29, Acts29.org. Keep a lookout for the Rescue Project. We will be promoting it here on Ave Maria Radio and EW10, and hope to bring Father John back very, very soon. And just check out the website for all the great work, his podcasts, and, of course, his wonderful programs here on EW10 and Ave Maria Radio. We'll be right back.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If he's God, he knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to avemariaradio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
I hope you know how much we appreciate your listenership here at the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, as well as the Ave Maria Radio Network. And we always say we are all about the resources. So just remember, anything you hear daily on this show, you can check out. You can go to, for example, the EWTN Religious Catalog through EWTN.com. You may also go to the archive section of Catholic Connection at AveMariaRadio.net. And all the resources are there for you. This is also a great way, by the way, to witness. Sometimes if you're challenged by a friend or a loved one on a particular topic and you hear us talking about an issue, right, that has come up, especially, right, over the holidays or a special occasion, you can go to or tell your friend or family member with whom you're discussing something to go to one of these sites and to listen to a program, or you can send them to the link to the program and they could hear it for themselves. That's why we call Catholic Radio part of being a member of the Shy Evangelist family, right? Because we do the evangelization for you and you can pass it on. We'll talk to you in the next edition of Catholic Connection. Thanks again for listening.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.